It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here on this Saturday. Good morning, Captain Mike.
Good morning, Captain Sean. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, except it's one of those times of year. Choices.
You go north, go south. Go east or go west.
And if you're going to go snapper fishing, you want to go west.
Yeah, that's right. Today is opening, or they're going to have a day of snapper fishing out of Mississippi.
Now, it's a
one-day snapper season out of Mississippi.
Now, okay, so we've talked about this in the past, but if you didn't catch it, so as we deal with the shutdown in this state versus that state, Florida and Mississippi, the two that we've talked about, we as Alabama anglers can buy a Mississippi fishing license.
That's right.
And Florida's the same situation, but we're talking Mississippi now.
Right.
Today's Mississippi. Buy a Mississippi fishing license, use their system, what is it, tails and scales?
Yeah, tails and scales, that's right.
Which you almost get like a hailout number, right?
That's
you
right.
Explain that in a second. But so to fish, now you could go fish, I guess the way I'm saying it. You could go fish stuff you have in federal waters, your numbers you like to fish and all that. You can go fish those.
I can leave out of Pascagoula and I can go south of Florida, 20, 30 miles, 40 miles, south of Alabama, 20, 30, 40 miles.
And catch your fish.
Louisiana.
Same places
fish,
you
whatever.
Work.
Any federal water I want to go to and then come back. I have to come back to where I launch from out of Mississippi.
And just on a technical side, even though there'll be, everything's up to the discretion of the different agents. But technical side, you probably don't want to cut a straight line back in to Mississippi if it's going to cut you across Alabama state waters. You know, that's the thing. They will. I'm just saying on the absolute technical side.
Yeah.
To be in position. Now, we have talked about it in the past that if you do get stopped, you have a Mississippi fishing license, your boat's, your trailer's
and
sitting there in Pascagoula.
I have tails and scales. Where it's different than Alabama. You have to check in before you leave.
Yeah, we're fixing to, yeah, this is.
In Mississippi. In Alabama, you check in when you get back.
Right.
But now, in Mississippi, you check in before you go, and they know you're going fishing out of Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
and then when you get back, you have to check back in and say that you have, you're back in and what you caught and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, and technically, you should keep it in federal waters to get in Mississippi waters and come in. Can you skirt the court? I mean,
I haven't worried about that because I know I'll be legal. I know what I'm doing. I mean,
don't stop and fish in Alabama waters.
No, I'm not going to stop and fish in Alabama waters. No.
9 miles out. So.
Yeah. I mean, but as far as running, I guess there is a little technicality there, but
everybody we've talked to said, if you do like what Mike said, you got your tails and scales, got your Mississippi licenses, your trailer sitting behind your truck in Pascagoula, you're okay. But it's just, I just want people to know that the letter of the law is almost like you just got to stay out.
I guess there's a little gray area there.
Yes.
But if you did get stopped, I believe you could prove your way through that you did not stop in Alabama and fish. You were in federal waters, and you could show on your chart what you did. So, I mean, it'd be a hard for them to charge you for that.
Don't tempt fate, Mike Ward.
But I think I'm going to go straight out of
there
Mississippi.
There you go. So tomorrow, one day for Mississippi, and I got a feeling that even some of those wrecks, public stuff, it's just a guess, that had gotten a lot of pressure. Now, by the end of season, when they closed it, I was disappointed about the early closure, disappointed about not having Red Snapper for the rodeo and all those things.
Yep.
But some of that closer public stuff, and I know talking to my friends that fish out of Orange Beach, which you and I are Dolphin Island, but the people fish out there, the close stuff, they said, got pretty tough to catch a legal snapper there for a while.
Yeah, but I'm sure probably now it's probably pretty good fishing right now.
It's funny how that is.
It is. Not that the fish aren't there, but
they've been beat up.
Beat up, that's right.
But it's just like
they've seen all their buddies go up to that boat up there, and they just, I ain't going up there.
Yeah, I don't want to eat that. It's just like, you fish a bank catching bass, and if you keep throwing at the same spots, you'd be like, hey, there's no more bass in there. But go on down, make a loop around, and come back and hit that same bank again 30 minutes later.
There's another one or two.
There's
there.
Fish.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. So that's what's going on. So, yeah, Mississippi opening up. And then for Alabama, we got this three-day season coming up next month in October.
Yeah, that's Columbus weekend, mm-hmm. Columbus Day weekend.
Three-day.
I forget the dates of it.
I think it's 11th, 12th, 13th. Or,
something like
here
that.
Here we go. Here, what I'll do is I will open my phone and my calendar here. This is where I'm stalling.
And listen, in Mississippi, this is just a one-day opening for this weekend, but they did say that there are probably going to be some more days on into the season, on into the year, but I'm sure they don't want to over-catch their quota. So they're just doing a one-day, because there'll be a lot of people fish Labor Day weekend. It won't be like just the weekend after Labor Day. There might not be that many people fishing. But for Labor Day weekend on a Saturday, there's going to be a lot of people fishing and wanting to go catch some snapper.
So, and by the way, ours will be the 10th, 11th, and 12th, which is the
October.
October 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Yes.
That's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, which is Columbus Day.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So there you go. So, yeah, the 12th is being is a Monday.
Yeah.
So it's not Friday. It's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Okay.
And, yeah, and the thing on the quota, and there's such a bigger discussion we've had many times, we'll continue to have here, about the snapper numbers. But we're just talking kind of narrow, short game, what's going on right now. They don't want to go over in the tonnage. So that's why they slow down and stop a season and kind of let that information come in and see where it is. And then they add day or days to try to see how close they can get, how close to the edge we can play it. It's like, okay, you're back in the back in your boat and trailer in a garage. You have that big first sweep coming in there. You're in there. And then you do that. You're riding the brake.
Yeah,
and easing it and looking in the side view. How close am I to that ladder
yeah.
back there and those coolers a little bit more?
That's good analogy.
Little,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you're going to end up at the same place, but you can't come steaming in there doing
that's
that.
You've
got to stop halfway into the garage and start easing your way back to the back wall.
You don't want to go a foot too far.
That is correct.
Yes.
Bad
yeah.
times.
So it's the same with snapper. Yes, that's a good analogy.
So yeah. So we've got today for Mississippi and then those 3 days in October, which could be great. Could be
yeah.
bad weather-wise. I mean, it's, you know, depends.
But in October, you get a lot.
You get beautiful
days.
You also get tropical weather.
You get these fronts coming in, and then you do have the tropical weather coming, but you do have these fronts coming in.
Same thing as right now.
But that is good sometimes because it gets on down to about 60-something degrees in the morning.
I wouldn't know what to do if I wasn't sweating while I'm snapper fishing.
Yes, it would be unusual, but I've done it. I mean, you know, in the past.
Yeah, the other thing that, and we're going to get, I want you to talk about it with you, to, and also as we go, get you and our buddy Jim Cox to talk some blue water fishing. You know, we've finally, Buddy and I bought a boat twin. I finally got a boat with twins,
yeah.
right? I've said all these years, closest thing I had to a boat with twins is we'd take two boats out that had single engines and stay together. got a boat that has got twins. And so I'm wanting to do more blue water fishing.
Yeah.
And the stories I've heard, from y'all and seen it to some degree, the stories I've heard that October bite for white marlin has been pretty good closer in.
Just offshore fishing period is super good in October.
But
on
I just
everything.
Wonder if it's worth a combo marlin. To hit yeah. snapper that weekend if the weather was right. And then does that, you know, if you're out 40 miles, are you in the right area to start dragging some baits for white marlin?
Well, not maybe 40 miles.
But how much further?
You know, another 20 miles.
Think 60 because yeah. I always hear that they come in so close.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
it just depends on where the blue water
well,
is.
Well, I mean,
know.
You yeah. have people catching sailfish in October at Southeast Banks,
right.
and some of the tanks and stuff mm-hmm. out there. But generally speaking, they're usually offshore, but they do come in closer, just like king mackerel do. King mackerel
right.
come in closer in October. You catch a lot of fish just right offshore. I mean, just all the short the tanks and the. All the public pots mm-hmm. in close. I mean, you catch a lot of kings in there. Even the first rigs just right off Sand Island
mm-hmm.
in October,
mm-hmm.
you catch a lot of kings.
Yeah.
So they do come in, and I'm then the white marlin and the sailfish do too.
Yeah, I'm interested.
But it's not saying they're not out off deep water too.
Right.
But it depends on the color of the water too.
That's what I'm saying. At 40 miles, if you get that, it may not. I just see enough pictures in the fall in white marlin that it's not purple. It's that navy blue water
yeah.
that when you get that push of the navy blue, not the super, what I call purple water out there,
right.
but I've fished offshore blue water fish, but it's always in the summertime. By October, if it wasn't for the snapper to motivate me to be out there, I'd strictly in the woods at that
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to go out there, and I know I'm projecting here because we don't know what the weather's going to be like, but it sure would be nice in my daydreaming. And we go catch some snapper, and then we drag some blue and white Islanders. Drag some Islanders and try to catch a marlin.
Sure, and then if that don't work out, you can deep drop out there.
Yeah.
You know, you catch you some beeliners, or, I mean, go on out a little bit further and catch you some grouper and some tile fish and that kind of stuff, deep water fishing, too. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to do in October.
Hey, speaking of which, you need those window weights I got?
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk about that after the show. Yeah. All right, coming up on today's show, we'll talk some more fishing here, some sweetwater fishing, freshwater fishing. Man, we talk about October, and we talk about another kind of bass fishing in the Delta.
Yes.
October, November. Katie barred the door, and the man that keeps his finger on that pulse, our buddy Captain Wayne Miller, is going to join us here shortly, talk with him about some bass fishing. Also, because I can't stand it, we'll take it to the woods and take it actually to the field as today, opening of North Zone dove season. We talked about that on last week's show. We're going to talk more some doves today.
That's going to be tough. As hot as it is, woo!
Heat index is only supposed to be 107 today.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it'd be.
I'll show up 30 minutes before the shoot's over, and we'll shoot for 30 minutes in the shade there.
I'm going offshore. You can go in the woods.
There you go. Then we've got, of course, coming up a week from now, you've got South Zone down here. South Zone dove season open. So does Blue Wing Teal season. So what are we looking at? I've looked at a couple of the conversations from north of us. Teal population, now, when will they get here? I don't know. People are really saying they're seeing tons of teal. We heard in our discussion with Seth Maddox on last week's show, moving teal population was pushing 5 million for this flight.
Yeah. Ooh.
All right. So all that and a whole bunch more coming up. It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We're glad you're here. I'll get you those weights.
All right.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and our buddy Captain Wayne Miller's joined us now too. Hey, Captain Wayne.
Hey guys, how are y'all doing?
Probably not as good as you. I don't know. Are we doing as good as he is?
No, I know we're not because we don't fish every day. So I know we're not doing as good as he's doing. Period.
Well, the trick to that, Mike, is get out there early, man, and get you about 4 or 5 hours in, and then spend the afternoon in the shade, buddy.
Well, the other thing that is, me and Sean's got to work. That makes a difference.
Here's the thing. Captain Wayne works, but he works on them fish.
Yeah, he does that now.
I tell you guys, the fishing's been, it's actually slowed down a little bit over the last, week. And I primarily attribute that to just all that fresh water we got from all these rains because, man, we just had a tremendous number of really strong, storms and primarily the afternoons that dumped just torrential rain all over the middle delta. And, it really, really jumped the water up a little bit. I mean, we saw the Mobile River go up a little over 5 feet.
Yeah.
And but it's actually dropped back down. Now it's down, about 3.5 feet. So, we've seen that come down, and I think we'll see that water start to clear up some more, into this coming week, and that'll help on that main river bite because that stained water really slowed that main river bite down, and kind of what it did for me, it forced me to go into a lot of the lakes in the middle, and even the bays. Down south and, kept catching fish. I mean, we're still doing really good on, early and late in the day. Man, these fish have been, they've been cranking on the old buzz bait.
Yeah.
I've been throwing a couple of the different buzz baits that Keith Lott makes.
Mm-hmm.
I like that little double buzz, but he also makes a head banger. It's one that actually, clicks against the body of the bait.
Right.
And it's a gold blade on that one, and it really works good.
Now, I got to fish that. So, I fished that same double buzz of the Lott's lures. I love that one. I have not fished. You call it the head banger?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, great name for it.
I'll have to get you one of those, Sean. It's a fantastic bait.
I tell you what, Keith Lott makes some awesome baits. Now, he really does. He, if people like the old bush hog style baits, it's the closest thing I know to it.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, the the buzzbait bite, you know, it continues to be pretty strong. And, you know, but one thing that, I really like about, you know, a lot of the buzzbaits now, you know, I like to just get those buzzbaits without a skirt. And, you know, and it's not just me. I mean, there's tremendous numbers of anglers that are just trying all different kind of plastics on those buzzbaits. I mean, you know, you can alter not only the, you know, the color, but also, you know, the action just by putting on a different trailer. And,
right.
You know, a lot of people are using frogs on them, and a lot of people using, you know, like ultra-5 speed craw. I mean, it's just the possibilities are really endless. So, you know, you can actually throw something that the fish hadn't seen.
You know, he was just trying to draw me out saying frogs because he knows I want to talk about frog fishing. I've had a good summer of frog fishing. And I wonder about that, too. You know, we talked color and you're talking about changing the profile of a buzzbait. But it's interesting, different size buzzbaits, different size blades versus throwing a frog. And you know, when we talk frogs, I mean, there's hollow body frog that you're going to fish one way versus, you know, I'll throw like a lot of zoom bait frogs and just you got to run them like a buzzbait. Why some days that frog, I've seen it just in my limited experience, outfish a metal bladed buzzbait. And another day, you can't get near that metal bladed buzzbait with a frog. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're fishing the same stretch. And I don't know if it's in speed of retrieve. It's what do you, I mean, do you have any kind of idea? You know what happens,
you know,
but you have a reason?
The only thing that I really attribute it to, Sean, is I really think, you know, the buzzbaits will day in and day out when the fish are aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll outfish that frog the majority of the time. Just from the standpoint, it just really makes a fish mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but you know, a lot of times, like you know, when you like right now this weekend, I mean, we're in a nip tide right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And a lot of days you'll go out like that, and you'll have fish come up and you know just blow on that buzzbait. They won't eat it, and you're like, man, what is going on? And that's when you really need to concentrate on slowing down, put on one of those hollow-bodied frogs that you can work slow, something like that. You know, and to me, when they're, you know, the fish are less aggressive, you know, is when the frog bite seems to really, you know, come into play. And you know, that's just what I've seen in my experience. But, you know, one thing that is extremely encouraging, and I've talked to a lot of people at Fish's Delta, and you know, over the last year, I've seen not only the frog population, but snakes and just a lot of things that we saw just almost completely go away. I mean, we're seeing tremendous numbers now, and you know, so that's a good sign from the standpoint of the health of the Delta. And but you know, there's tons of frogs all over this Delta, so you know, it's something that the fish are used to eating, but you know, they can be pretty picky about, you know, colors and the size. Some days, you know, they want a big one, some days a real small, like a ribbit, you know, is a real good bait. I like to throw it. And, you know, you can stop it, especially on matted or, you know, pads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but, you know, that little small size, you know.
Yeah, the baby ribbit.
2.5
Yeah, yeah, that's what I throw. Yeah, the you're talking about the baby ribbit?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
That thing's, the garlic scent thing I can take or leave. I don't know that, I'm working a frog at the speed I'm working a frog, that he's going to stop and smell the garlic. But because those of y'all that run these, y'all know what we're talking about. They make it like a garlic scent, and I'll touch my hand to my face and be like, where's old garlic's coming off that thing?
Yeah, I believe I'd do without it.
But it's that is a – I mean, I absolutely flat crushed some fish on that baby ribbit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great bait. But, you know, one thing that I tell people this all the time, you know, both a buzz bait and even a frog are baits that the fish are going to let you know within about 20, 30 minutes that's either on or it's not. And if it's not, you better move to something else.
What about the buzz bait? I mean, you know, a lot of times people fish that just they think and in their mind they just want to fish it right at daylight, and then after, you know, within an hour after daylight comes up, they want to switch over to something else. Are you switching over to something else, or are you staying with the buzz bait?
You know, when I'm – as long as I'm getting fish to react on it, Mike, and this time of year, you know, it's crazy, but, man, I keep one on the deck, and, you know, when I pull up on points in the middle of the day, even out on the main river, I'll pick up a buzz bait and throw it because – there's so many fish that'll be suspended, and they're there for one reason, to eat. And sometimes a buzz bait, they'll come up on it in the middle of the day. So, you know, it's a good bait to throw, and, you know, it typically catches a little better grade fish than some other topwater baits. But, If it's really slow, though, man, I tell you, that's a grind fishing a buzz bait. You know, when you go 30, 45 minutes without a bite, man, you got to really believe to stick with it.
And you're almost asleep at the wheel when you finally do get a bite. If you're like me, maybe not you, but I'm like, oh, well, there was one.
But I've had really good luck with buzz baits in the middle of the day, Wayne, fishing in lakes now and ponds and lakes and stuff, but I mean, really, where they just every cast, every other cast, just about you getting one or one's boiling on it or something. I've had some great luck. In the middle of the day, you wouldn't think that it'd be that good, but I've had great success with it.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, and like I say, even on the main rivers here on the Delta, there are a lot of days when it works. But, you know, I've kind of transitioned back away from the frogs just because of the fact. For, you know, 2-3 years, it got to the point where a lot of people abandoned the buzz baits and just started throwing frogs. And so I think it somewhat diminished the number of fish, you know, that were seeing buzz baits. They were seeing a lot more frogs. But, you know, I think it helped make the buzz bait a little more effective here on the Delta. But it's a great bait. You know, the biggest challenge with a buzz bait, though, is, and we all do it, it's the hardest thing in the world to do, is when you get a hit, you take it away from them. I always encourage people, and I'm pretty good with it, but, you know, what I try to do is I never change the speed of my retrieve on my reel, and I don't set the hook. I let the rod load up. And once the rod loads, then I'll pull back into it. And, that to me is the best way to ensure that you'll get a good hookup on a buzz bait. And we're all guilty of it, though, man. I mean, it's hard not to jerk it when you have a big one blow on it.
It is. It's extremely hard. But, you know, I guess I kind of do that without even thinking about it because I've been doing it so long, you know. And it's something that you don't just sit there and think, I need to let him load the rod up before I set the hook. It's just something that naturally kind of comes to us, I guess, because we've done it so long.
Right.
And we have jerked it out of their mouth so many times.
Y'all got nerves of steel. That's what it's what, you know, it's just the excitement of it. Yeah, working through it, not.
Well, letting them hit on top, hitting the bait. Top water just, I don't care whether you speckled trout fishing,
it's most fun.
Red fishing, bass fishing, marlin fishing, it don't matter what it is.
Top,
King Michael fishing, that top water bite is awesome.
Oh, yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing to mention, though, about the Delta right now for bass, now the soft plastic bite is still pretty strong. I mean, we're still catching a lot of fish out on the main rivers. with, you know, worms, anywhere from the 6-inch to 10-inch worms. But it's primarily still in the darker colors. I mean, the black grape, June bug, black red glitter, those colors are still outperforming, anything else. And I think it's primarily because of the stained water in the main rivers. But the fish are still, you know, we're catching quite a few fish on soft plastic.
Well, that brings me to the next question. When you say quite a few fish, we're talking bass here, but are you seeing, I know we had talked about kind of the scenario before the rain, do you think it's run off any of the saltwater species, run out the shrimp, or what are you seeing out there?
No, you know, I'm still seeing redfish. You know, anytime I'm down, you know, toward the lower end of the delta, just about every day I go down there, I catch a few redfish, and especially over on the Mobile, I'm still seeing Jack Crevalle. And, you know, once that bait moves up, I mean, I think it'd take a lot more than what we've seen to flush those shrimp and these saltwater species out of the delta. You know, they're still here. And it's just, you know, it's really incredible the numbers of redfish that we see, you know, up in the delta now.
Well, it's like I keep saying, since you and I have been talking, today are the golden years for me for red fishing. Red fishing each year for the last 15, 20 years maybe has been better than it was growing up.
I agree with that.
So,
yeah. Totally agree.
All right, Captain Wayne, let's do this because we got much more to talk about as we get into the favorite time of year with that fall fishing. And if somebody wants to get, and we'll talk more about fall fishing here going forward, but somebody wants to go ahead and get in line, get a trip booked with you for, it's not even fall fishing, fall catching. How do they do that?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
Have y'all ever been on a boat that has multiple rods bowed over like three people at a time hooked up and catching bass? You want to see it? It's this, and this is not Private Lake. This is Mobile Tensaw Delta. Yeah. You go with this man.
Later in the fall. It's awesome.
It's something. So we appreciate it. We'll check back with you next week, and thanks for the update. And get back to doing that fish catching thing.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, absolutely. Wayne. Captain Wayne Miller joining us, and we're coming right back. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Always a treat to get Captain Wayne Miller on. It just fire you up. The man stays out there through August, which actually this August, you know, we heard the same thing from Captain Wayne and Captain Bobby.
Yeah.
This August for inshore trout and redfish and for bass was better than normal. Usually August is one of those tough, you can still catch fish, but they're just tough, tough months. And then lately, Captain Wayne's saying, got a little bit tougher here in September. Nice thing is he's a lot closer to the goal line of those first cold fronts coming in. And, you know, it's weird looking at it. Except we have not gotten our little taste of fall yet. You know, we get that. We get that usually late August, beginning October. Just to like, look, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
That.
Where it gets down to 68 or 69 or something.
And we all are like, holy cow, it feels so great.
Yeah,
and
then it goes away. About an hour or two. Yes. Yeah.
It goes back to being hot, but at least it's a sign of things to come. We haven't had that this year.
But they say next week, the end of next week, we're going to have a little, going to be down in the 60s. Towards the end of the week.
It's lies, week. Mike. It's lies.
Now, I'm just telling you what the weatherman, Jason, tells me.
Well, then you know we're trouble for following it. But he thinks we're going to get a little drier in here.
That's what they say, yeah. And one thing's just affected the saltwater fishing a little bit. It's been the weather.
Well, we had, you know, I mean, just two hurricanes.
Just two hurricanes. But listen, it has not been calm since then.
Right.
I mean, this weekend, today and tomorrow and Monday, it looks like it's going to be okay.
The best
it's been 1 to 2 foot seas is what they're calling for. So that's the best we've had. I think yesterday, Friday, was probably an okay day too.
Right.
We just
Other than that, it's been.
It's been blowing. I mean, it's been blowing, you know, 10 to 15 knots, 20 knots every day.
And I feel bad that I get where I don't pay as much attention to what's happening offshore this time of year, because I get...
But that affects inshore, too.
I mean, it affects inshore.
That hard.
It just doesn't affect the tractor as much.
No, it
the
doesn't way bother, you know.
And we've had enough rain that I don't have to worry about the dust crushing me on the tractor.
Yeah.
So I hadn't worried about the wind direction as much. You know where you do that when you're coming down, running tractor, and you're disking, and you get down to the end of the turn row, and depending on where the wind, but you have to stop and let that dust go by as you pick up and spin, and let it, you hold your breath, let it go by, and then drop it and go again.
Yeah.
Hadn't had to do that lately.
Yeah. Well, it won't take long. About 4 or 5 days of no rain where you're hunting at, it'd be dusty again. So you won't have to, you'll get back into it pretty quick.
Getting things ready. Of course, today, opening day, this is, I guess, at 12 noon officially, of dove season in the North Zone.
Yep.
I don't know. I hadn't heard of, doesn't mean I've talked to enough people. I hadn't heard anybody say, man, I got a gazillion doves. Have you heard, you talked to more people than me?
No, I haven't, Sean. I know a lot of people is planning on going this weekend, but I want to tell you, it's so hot. A lot of really dedicated, die-hard dove hunters, I don't think they're going. I got one of my best friends is, I mean, he's diehard. He loves it.
He's not going to do
he
it.
He ain't going. He said, it's just too hot. Yeah.
Smart
when you're
man.
Talking about 100 something degree heat index.
I'll wait.
And stand in the sun, even if you're in the shade, if you don't have a little breeze, I don't get excited about it.
Well, and I'm, you know, so our field, I've got one place we could shoot this afternoon in the North Zone, but we same thing. And I'm just looking, we're not going to do it this afternoon. And I'm looking forward to next weekend. For the South Zone opener, maybe that little dry front might.
Yep.
And think about it, teal hunters. You heard that right there, that could be the first front that has made it to the Gulf Coast, and teal season opens a week from today.
Yeah. Don't rely on my weather. Just if I'm wrong.
We'll talk to Smitty.
Call Jason.
We'll talk to Smitty. We'll get this straightened out. So, yeah, you got, of course, you got doves and you got teal next weekend. You got doves this weekend. All right. And we went through it a gazillion times. We went through it last week with Seth Maddox. We don't have to tell y'all what's okay or not okay in the dove field. I'm not saying you would do anything wrong, but if you go, you know, this is something else Mike and I have talked about with game wardens on the show in the past. If you walk out there, you didn't prep the field, you got invited to the field,
yep,
dove shoot, and you walk out there and you see something on the way carrying your bucket out there wherever you're going to sit, and you know that it, you should really know that it's wrong, whether it's something over the top like cracked corn or that the wheat is, you know, 3,000 pounds an acre on that field. They give people tickets. People will say, well, they'll give the person who owns the field or put on the shoot the ticket.
No, they give everybody a ticket.
If it's so obvious, you should have known.
Yeah, I want to make sure everybody understands you can't plant cracked corn. It don't grow.
But seriously, you do expect that, hey, it's the person invited to the shoot or whatever that they've taken.
Yeah, they're going to get the ticket. They're the ones that did it and all that. But no, you're supposed
everybody
to be,
gonna get it.
You're
they're going
to
get a ticket.
Be smart enough to know and go and look at that field and know the laws and regulations. And if you go out there and you see Milo, millet, cracked corn, wheat, and everything else out there, then you need to walk away and say, hey, I got to go home. I got just had a phone call.
Mama
called me.
Yeah, I got to go home.
Yep.
And then, so, I mean, it's people say, well, my job's not to go, but hey, it's the way the law works. You got to go and pay attention when you're out there. All right. Other things, bow season. Holy cow.
Unbelievable, isn't it? 45 days or less.
Yeah.
And bow season's going to be here.
Yep.
It might be 40 days.
Carry the one.
41, 2, 5, 6, whatever it is. It's right here on top of us.
I'm over here doing math. Yeah, it's like 40 days.
Oh, you don't do math.
I don't. That's why I went to radio. So like 40 days till bow season. I'm fired up about that. By the way, update, we've made it to September and I still have soybeans.
Really?
I still have soybeans. Now, they ain't nothing you're going to take a picture
of. I wasn't worried
so
much about the deer. I'm just worried about the timber guys running over.
Yeah, loggers ran over a lot of the beans, but it's a whole other story. But
so how tall are the beans? And you planned them back in May?
Remember, early.
Yeah, May.
I was earlier than that.
April?
I planted them during turkey season.
Okay, well, in April.
So I got started in late March and April, disking, spraying and disking, getting everything prepped.
Yeah.
Then I planted, in April. And by the way, just one of the ideas there, if you can get them, which we can down here in this neck of the woods, you know, and I'm in Mobile County, but figure out when your last frost is, when you get that soil temperature up to, I think, mid-60s,
yeah.
average soil temperature. That's what beans need to germinate. The earlier you can plant them, the better. Now, because those bucks are already building antler, those does are already building baby deer in April.
Yeah.
So this idea, and listen, I'm guilty. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I used to be, well, we'll finish turkey season, y'all, and then we'll all have a couple weeks, and then we'll get back up here in mid-May, we'll plant beans.
Yeah.
You're missing a big part of the benefit to antlers and fawns.
Absolutely, you are. Earlier you can plant it, the better.
You got to try to figure out how the early you can get them in. And that means, you know, maybe using February or times like that to prep your fields. Get them ready. You're not planting them, but you got that part of the work done.
That's right.
That and then you're ready to strike and plant when you're ready.
So how tall are your beans right now?
I'd say inside the exclusion cage or outside?
Well, outside, where the deer have been hitting it.
I don't – and this is – listen to this. I don't probably have a bean over 10 to 12 inches high.
But that's okay.
See, that it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, they're getting a benefit, but here's the deal.
I'm not planting them to make a bean pod. I'm planting them to build deer.
You planted group 7 beans, didn't you?
Yeah, forage beans.
Forage beans, okay. So if you'd planted regular soybeans, you wouldn't have nothing out there.
That's correct.
You would be dirt only.
I've done that in the past, and it just cannot keep up with the browse. And you know what I'll do?
Explain the difference.
Okay, so, you know, soybeans, all plants have got one job. Right, just like all critters on Earth, is to make more of them.
Right.
I mean, it's just part of God's plan. It's just make more of them. There's all these kind of things we do in between. But, you know, and I noticed that with different plants like my millet that got grazed so much by the deer, mm-hmm. even though it never got to get high, it went on and put seed heads on.
Yeah. Because
that's its job. Okay, so the beans, basic beans that farmers are planting, they're trying to get beans off those. That's where the money is, the
that's
physical
right.
soybean.
That's not what you're trying to do.
But if you're using them to feed cattle, in our case, deer, you want it's still going to produce a bean because you can't. But they have tweaked that plant over time to put more of its energy into growing leaves.
Yes,
you know the leaf procedure and the bushiness of it than just all that energy going into straight beans,
that's
creating
fine.
Beans. So, what these do in these forage beans is they can not only produce more general forage, what they can do is they can handle the grazing pressure. And that's what I got. And it's not even grazing because you don't, but yeah, we'll call it eating pressure
right.
from deer.
Yeah.
That they do a good job of when one set of leaves is clipped off, they start a new shoot and start a new shoot. Now, I'll take some pictures of our bean plants and put them up on our Facebook page, maybe by next week's show. They're beat up. That's what I want, because beat up is deer that are eating it, but yet those forage beans can stay alive and keep producing. So those I've had forage in the form of soybeans at some level there. I probably had the first of them start poking their heads out, sometimes right there at the end of April,
first
into
of
May.
May,
right?
Yeah.
I planted in April, and whenever, you know, they got up. From then to now, here we are in September, and there's still groceries out there.
How about inside a cage? How tall is it inside a cage?
That has been interesting, except for some of my cages that the deer have gotten in, and I got proof of it. They turn their heads sideways because I didn't have chicken wire. I had hog panel, and they're eating the beans inside it. They're about foot and a half, 18.
So they're still nipping it. They're in there nipping it. So.
And there's other things, though. I mean, you know, the deer aren't the only thing getting after the beans.
Yeah.
You know, and then, I mean, you've got a lot of insects out there.
Yeah.
They get after beans too, so they limit it. But yeah, so on my soil, and I'm in a sandy, loamy soil, and so I'm not put. It's not like I'm planting in the Black Belt, not like I'm planting, you know, in heavy clay soils that benefit beans. I'm planting in a sandy soil, and I only amend so much because I'm not trying to feed my family. I'm feeding deer, so I'm definitely put plenty of lime and put a good amount of fertilizer. But if I was trying to make a profit, I'd pour a lot more fertilizer in per acre.
Well, you'd be playing a lot bigger place, too.
Correct.
You know, here's the difference between a regular bean and a forage bean or a group 7 bean. The regular bean's going to grow up about 3 to 4 foot tall, mm-hmm. typically, and good soil and everything. And if you got good soil planting the same thing with the eagle beans or the group 7 beans, they're going to get up 5 or 6 foot tall
mm-hmm.
if the deer don't hit them and, you know, nothing happens to them. They'll get up 6 foot tall.
But you don't – here's the thing. You just want to use exclusion cages or whatever to show you how it's growing.
Yes.
But the best thing I can see Now, I know somebody would get Chuck Sykes arguing and be like, well, if you had your deer ratios in line.
Yeah.
But the best thing I can see is beans up at that height in the exclusion cage and way lower outside it. Because what are we doing? What are we trying to do here is we're trying to
feed the deer.
Feed the deer. And we're trying to feed the deer while they're growing babies and antlers.
Right.
And by the way, my cameras look, I got both babies and antlers. So, and I still have beans. And by the way, too, it does matter. I mean, y'all probably realize this. Even if you have a forage bean, I don't care what they tell you, you're not planting them in a three-quarter acre food plot or acre food plot making beans unless you fence and do all that stuff. And if you fence,
or you
why
don't
are you
have any deer.
If you fence, why would you fence? All right, we'll be right back. All right, so it's the closing segment here, but the beginning of our Saturday. So,
hour goes by fast, Sean.
It does. Hey, by the way, too, if you you know, not listening on a Saturday morning, or you want to share this with somebody else, or go back and listen to something, the podcast posts an hour within the hour after this show ends. The podcast will go up. You can go to fmtalk1065.com, click the podcast link, or go to the Sports and Outdoors tab up there. They're in both places. Or if you subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, any of those platforms, our podcast is waiting for you there. Or I put a link on the Facebook page, too. You can go to get it from that spot. And it replays tonight at 11, plays again tomorrow morning, Sunday morning at 7. So check it out there, and Sunday evening at 10 o'clock. So we all over the place.
Yeah. If you listen to the radio station, you can hear us sooner or later.
Or pick it up in podcast, take it with you wherever you go as you get ready for, maybe going to tend to some soybeans, or maybe going snapper fishing in Mississippi, or maybe going bass fishing in the Delta.
Or you could go dove hunting and take your radio with you.
Now, it might melt your radio.
Yeah,
when you're out in the dove field this afternoon, but you could do that as well. All right, this is a time of year, so much to do, so much to talk about here in the outdoors,
is,
and we're glad you choose to be right here listening to us. And if you've got questions, subjects, ideas for the show, something you want us to cover, you can always send an email to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com, and then I'll surprise my friend Mike Ward with it next week.
Yeah, ask me a question. I won't know the answer,
but you can do that. All right, Prep Sports Report, they're up next.